Blog Talk Radio.
Sangai and Rex, the only show where two total dudes review one total diva show and delight the entire world. I am not one half of those aforementioned dudes. I am not Rex Razor Sharp, who might be off eating marshmallows right now. I am the other half of the aforementioned total dudes, the host of Turnbuckle Turmoil, the host of The Sign of the Times, the host of Sangai's Wrestling Show. I am the peanut butter to Rex's marshmallow, so throw us into a blender and add some milk and come up with a really weird milkshake. And welcome to the show of the genius known only as Sign Guy. How am I doing, brother? Well, it's been a chaotic couple of days. I gotta tell you.
Boo! Did I scare you?
A little bit. I didn't think you were ever gonna put down the marshmallows.
Skype was having Skype problems, you know. So, what can you do? But you did. I was gonna say that you were the King's Island.
It doesn't matter now because I've already done it.
No, you were. I got it. Okay, I'll save it for next time then. That works. So Sign Guy, what's the scuttlebutt around the water cooler?
Well, some scuttlebutting is that the Brooklyn Brawler was let go from his job.
I heard tell of this. What exactly was his job?
He was a concierge, and he also helped produce the backstage vignettes.
I see. So they probably want to move on to someone younger, I would imagine.
Possibly.
Yeah, cheaper. Younger and cheaper. That's the way of the world, Sign Guy.
We also have with us our special guest.
Oh, he's here, is he? Well, introduce him. Do it, Sign Guy.
All right. We have with us, all the way from the Louisville area, we have a former holder of the Sign of the Times 24/7 International YouTube Heritage Heavyweight title holder, the man defeated Sharp Pain Stevie Jonak for that very prestigious title. We have with us Reed By God Bentley.
Hi guys, how's it going?
It's going, brother. Now, Sign Guy mentioned one very prestigious title you've held, but is there any that has meant more to you that you may currently be holding?
While the Sign of the Times longest title name that I've ever held was, you know, a very, very important reign in my life, I got to say my current reign, my third reign as IWA World Champion, might mean just a little bit more to me, if nothing else, because it's going on right now. You know, it's in the here and the now.
Sign Guy, what do you think?
Hurts me in my left kidney just a little bit, but I can see his point. that puts him in some prestigious company. You know, Congo Kong once held that title.
He did. Big John Studd's son, Big Sean Studd, almost held that title as of last Friday, as I was in Northern Virginia right outside of D.C. wrestling and put the IWA world title on the line on the road against Big Sean Studd's spawn. And we had us a rousing good time. But I am still the current reigning, and I'm not just at this moment defending world champion.
Now, Big Sean Studd, how is he big? How big is he?
He is. I mean, he's like 6'5", 6'6", you know. He's kind of like a more corn-fed version of Chris Hero, you know, when you look at him. He's got long hair, you know, short, stubbly beard, you know, big, tall dude. He actually wears his dad's entrance jacket, which I think is pretty cool. Like, he has, like, one of Big John Studd's original, like, robes, which is pretty cool. He did not wear it out on Friday, though, because they do not have steps at Nova. So he would have had to have just worn it out to the ring to take it off before he got in the ring, which would have been, you know, a very awkward ring entrance. So I opted out of it. But it is a very cool jacket, or a very cool robe. And he's a nice dude. He's trained by Booker T, or at Booker T.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Stevie Ray, I believe, is the head trainer there still. So he trained actually out there in Texas with them, and is from the Virginia area, like it's Burke, Virginia, so like a suburb of D.C., pretty much where all the bureaucrats and government military employees live. So he grew up like 10 minutes down the road, went to high school there, and is now back in the area trying to make it as a professional wrestler. So very, very fun times.
Can we confirm or deny if this is the same son that inducted Big John Studd into the Hall of Fame?
I cannot confirm or deny that off the top of my head because I do not remember who inducted him into the Hall of Fame. I'm going to guess probably not because he is on the younger side. He's about my age. I want to say he's like 24, 25. And I feel like Big John Studd got inducted in the Hall of Fame like a while ago, so probably not him.
Yeah, that would have put him at like 12, and that son was obviously older than 12.
Okay, probably not him. Unless he's just always been big.
Beyond this Big Sean Studd, let's talk about some of the names that have held that prestigious IWA Mid-South title. You've got fellas like Mike Quackenbush. You got fellas like AJ Styles held it at one point. You got guys like CM Punk, Jimmy Jacobs, Danny Daniels, Chris Hero held it once or twice.
This is true.
Who do you think you choose to honor in your current reign as the IW Mid-South champion? Who is your vision of championness? I'm not sure what I'm saying.
I don't know, man. I kind of try to feel like I do my own thing, you know, to the best of my ability. I don't try to bite off of anybody too hard, you know.
Yes.
Like, you got to kind of pull apart from everybody. And I was a fan of IWA, you know, my entire life growing up. So, you know,
absolutely.
So he's not just, I got to watch it growing up, and then I got to be, you know, a part of it, and I got to be around you know, guys that I watched growing up, and I get to be a part of something that I always, I mean, for me, it's not just like something I found or a company that I got into wrestling and then heard they had buzz and became a part of it. It's, for me, it's very organic. You know, it's really a natural fit for me because it's kind of where I always saw myself. So, like, I kind of feel like I'm just an amalgamation of 20 years of history of IWA kind of manifested into one dude.
Absolutely. I'm one of the Kool-Aid drinkers, if you will. Been to many a show, probably some of the same ones you're referencing there.
Right.
Do you think, though, that you could ever live up to Salvatore Sincere's IWA Mid-South Championship reign?
Oh, I don't know if that's possible now. I mean, or even someone like the very first champion, Tower of Doom.
Yes.
I don't know that I could ever live up to some of these prestigious men, you know, that held this belt before me. But, you know, I do my absolute best.
Yes. Sign Guy, what do you have to ask? Let's stick on the IWA Mid-South for a minute, Sign Guy. Then we can move on to T-Talk.
I can combine them. Now, when you're defending that IWA Mid-South title, do you have a particular antioxidant tea that you enjoy post-match?
My favorite kind of tea is Shade. I just like talking shit about people. So, you know, that's my favorite kind of tea, and I like to spill it often. So, you know, that's my that's my favorite kind of antioxidant.
Now, of all the matches you've had, which one has been your personal favorite thus far?
That's a really difficult question for me because I have a hard time with definitives. I'd be lying if I said I didn't.
Yeah.
I'd have to say either one of the no rope barbed wire matches that I've had on Thanksgiving night the past 2 years could probably be, for very different reasons, my favorite matches. The first no rope barbed wire in 2014 was Loser Leaves Town between me and Trip Cassidy. And there was a lot of rumors circulating around that time, and a lot of a lot of people making a lot of assumptions about how that was going to go down. So we really had, you know, the crowd through everything in that. We had a very emotionally invested crowd, both of us being very emotionally invested in it because Tripp was, he was kind of my first everything in wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, like my first good match, like my first real tag partner. First guy I went really on the road with, like in a serious manner outside of just, you know, bullshit shows in Kentucky and Indiana. So for us, it was kind of 2014, you know, 4 years in, almost 5 years in for us. It was kind of a culmination for us, you know, of like everything we'd done up to that point. And I thought we really made magic happen that night. And then last year, you know, me and John Wayne Murdoch on Thanksgiving night again, you know, a year later at a very different point in my career where I had, became heel again at IWA and had tagged on and off, had tagged with John Wayne Murdoch, and we were now at odds, you know, just as far as just kind of the definition, in my opinion, of what hardcore wrestling is about, not just because we got bloody or because we used barbed wire or chairs or this or that, you know, it was, real hybrid wrestling of, you know, what we were able to do from start to finish and all the different aspects of wrestling that we wove together. So, I mean, either one of those, honestly, could be my favorite matchup.
Excellent choices. Your buddy Tripp, he's going to be joining the podcast, I believe, next week or the week after sometime. So,
yeah, good to hear, man. Very good to hear. Hey, what about you, Rick? What would your, if you had to pick your personal favorite Reed Bentley match that you have seen or know?
Yeah, this is an easy one for me. It's that knockout or tap out match with Chris Hero.
Okay, yeah. A very, very, for a long time, definitely held the held the top spot, like, in my own head, like, as far as I felt about my performance, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it was excellent.
What's your favorite Rex Sharp match ever?
I once had a match where I wore a John Kerry mask and wrestled George W. Bush right before that election. That's
okay.
The only time I've wrestled in a ring, and I'll never do it again. I shouldn't have done it then either. I was marginally trained.
Yeah.
But we were wrestling in front of nobody for our own enjoyment. So it's whatever.
That sounds like something I'd like to get a tape of.
I'm thankful it does not exist. We did it was after it was done, though. We put on the masks and went door to door around the neighborhood trying to get people to vote for John Kerry.
That's fantastic.
They were not very receptive of it in this small town of Holton,
yeah.
Indiana. Yeah.
Probably a red town, if I was guessing.
Yeah, sign guy, have you ever been to Holton, Indiana?
Not that I recall.
Really? I would have thought you would have been out that way. That's where old Roger Blade was running, and then we took it over.
Yeah, to my knowledge, have not had the pleasure of Holton, Indiana.
Well, enough wrestling talk. Well, first off, not enough wrestling talk. There's the big show coming up Friday, Reed. Why don't you give us a little toss to that before we move on?
Yeah, this Friday it's simply the best 10, which is always a big card. The deal with simply the best is that when we put a card on with that name, that any match on the card could be a main event match, you know, in its own way, in its own right. And I feel like it's shaping up to be that way. I don't really think this isn't, you know, a show where you're just going to see, you know, a bunch of random guys because they showed up at the building. You know, this isn't the Ian Rotten charity, put anybody who shows up near the ring in a match show. It's more of, you know, this is set in stone. This is what we're doing. This is who we're doing. There's going to be a really, really great, probably show-stealing scramble, in my opinion. Trick Davis, Colin Delaney, Sugar Dunkerton, J.J. Garrett, FIA, and one other person that I can't think of. Going to be stellar match, probably. You have myself and John Wayne Murdoch, who, you know, that song and dance, you know, we're destined to do this forever type thing that we have done, you know, a million times. Matt Cage and Jonathan Gresham, which I think is honestly probably the match the most people that I know personally are looking forward to. It seems like that's a match that everyone has wanted to see in an IWA ring, and I don't know if they've ever had an actual singles before, but if they have, you know, it's something that everybody has definitely wanted to see at IWA. We're both dudes kind of around the same time. We're breaking back in that Bellevue era of IWA. You know, Hero Michael Elgin, which is a main event match anywhere on the planet, any day of the week, you know, any promotion. So, and also, you know, you have the added factor too with that match. The winner of Chris Hero Michael Elgin becomes the number one contender. So, you know, you have that's after I trounce John Wayne Murdoch. I have, you know, that's what I have to look forward to. My new number one contender is going to either be, you know, New Japan roster member Big Mike, former Ring of Honor world champion, or former everything champion, you know, probably arguably the greatest professional wrestler going today, you know, Chris Hero. So I don't really have an easy task on Friday with John Wayne Murdoch. And after that, I'm definitely not going to have, you know, an easy task.
Same guy.
Yeah.
Ask the question. You know what it is. You know what you need to do? J.J. Garrett, I think, is the – did you say J.J. Garrett? Sorry.
Yeah, J.J. Garrett. Yeah, he's definitely – that was one of the ones I said. I think – I can't remember who the other guy –
Teddy King?
I feel – Teddy King, yes.
The
guy I wrestled just about a month ago. So, who is no lightweight. He had a pretty good opening three-way last week on the first, the show that I won the title on. It was him, J.J. Garrett, and Little Viking, Jake Parnell. They had a pretty pretty stellar, like 7-minute opening three-way dance, bunch of crazy stuff, or just a triple threat, not elimination, but they had a pretty crazy one. Definitely a whole, honestly, it was filmed at the arena, which I'm sure you've probably been to, Too Tough Tony's building, which is awesome. He really helped us out. We got inside because of, you know, the weather issues we were facing.
Yeah.
It's just a really hard building to white balance. So when you watch that show,
okay.
A lot of us are going to look like the Incredible Hulk, but it's definitely one of those random shows without any real huge names on it. But I think it's definitely one that when it drops on Smart Mark, people should kind of clamber to check out because everyone killed it top to bottom. And I think everyone's going to this Friday too, mainly because it's our return to Colgate, albeit a brief one. You know, it's a return to Colgate back into, you know, the building that started off this era of IWA. So I'll be happy to be back in what I consider our home base.
Yeah, that building's awesome. I love the Colgate gym.
Definitely.
All right, sign guy. It's time to get into the shenanigans. So ask him the question. Let's get this going.
Reed, by God, Bentley, looking at the show Total Divas, whom is this show for?
Who is the show for?
Who is the target audience? Who do they want to most target demographically for this television program?
I feel like it's a target for the target audience. I feel would be your casual, not casual wrestling fan or non-wrestling fan, because you know it brings in a complete, you know, everyone calls wrestling reality television, soap opera, whatever, but you know, it's legitimate reality TV. You know, it's an actual plays off just like anything, like Keeping Up with Kardashians or, you know, like anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a straight up reality show. It's on the E channel. I mean, it's something that can pull in people who don't know anything about wrestling, but who could get involved with those characters and what they do. And then, you know, by proxy end up watching the program, watching, you know, Raw, SmackDown, pay-per-views, getting the network, what have you, just because they're invested in who these people are on this show, like this version of themselves, you know, to potentially make them like the other version. And it definitely, I feel, appeals probably because it is focused around, you know, the girls, around the women's division. So, you know, you're definitely looking for your casual to non-existent female wrestling fan.
You know, I think you are the first person, honestly, that we've ever had that I feel nailed exactly who they're targeting. Because, as I always say, if you go, you look at their Facebook page, it's all women commenting on Total Divas. It's
right.
Who the audience is, and I think you nailed it perfectly. We've had a lot of wacky answers, and most people say, oh, it's for wrestling fans, but I think you're out of the money. Sign guy, what do you think?
I think that is a pretty fair assessment of things.
Absolutely. Well, are you ready to do the total dialogue gimmick read?
Yeah, let's do it.
Hit the music, sign guy. We got music for this. This is ridiculous. Oh, yeah. where we take a segment from the show we watched, we transcribe said scene, and we recreate it for you, the listener, at no additional charge. Tonight's scene is going to feature Sign Guy as Nathan, Reed by God Bentley as Josie, and I will be Eva Allred Everything Marie. And scene. Jonathan and I bought Dad some peanut brittle, but the mom dropped the bomb that Dad's sugar is high.
Yeah, his diabetes is bad right now.
Yeah, I know. Did you know that he's already back taking shots for cancer?
Yeah.
I didn't.
He gets a shot in his hip instead of chemotherapy.
I thought he stopped all the treatment because he was fine again.
Oh, no.
So, I had no idea he was back taking the chemo.
Once a month in the hip.
Where have I been?
Busy.
Working. We don't tell you half the stuff. He doesn't want anyone to worry about him.
I would kick myself if I didn't have him to walk me down the aisle.
Don't worry. It'll be a few more years.
It's non-operable. It's not even an option.
So the best thing for us to do is treat it and hold it back as long as possible.
And scene. Sign Guy, what was this?
This was a scene from the opening episode of season 3 where Eva Marie went back to visit her family and they were just casually throwing around that her dad has cancer and will be dead within a couple of years. Just, you know, oh yeah, forgot to tell you. Sorry. And Eva Marie's like, but. And they're like, eh, sorry. Probably a ton of other stuff you don't know.
Where she's not being outlandish, like one of the few times like in Total Divas where Eva Marie is like 100% just being a normal human, like, wait, what the hell do you mean he has cancer again? If no one told me, like, one of her few, like, rational moments.
Now, before we get into the episode, Reed, are you a regular watcher of Total Divas, casual watcher, or do you never watch it?
I'd say I ride the line between casual and you know, consistent. Like, my DVR is constantly full of, like, 100 different shows.
Yes.
So, like, you know, I catch about 3/4 of the episodes every season, and then, you know, I always try and go back and catch up on things. But at any given time, you know, I have a dozen shows I'm in the middle of watching and trying to keep up with. But I enjoy it. I know a lot of people think it's just, you know, but I mean, it's exactly what it's supposed to be. It's trash TV, but with wrestling people, you know, like, so
yeah.
Why would I love garbage TV, like anything that MTV produces, like, I love, you know, like The Real World and Catfish and stuff like that. Like, I love garbage television. It's my total guilty pleasure to just kind of get away. At least my life is not as bad as these people are pretending that theirs are, you know, so.
Absolutely. Well, now we know that you're familiar with the show, so let's get into it. Reed, who did you feel was the worst person on this episode?
Oh, man. Like, easily Eva Marie's dad.
Yes!
Like, without question. Really, her entire family. Like,
yes, I have them on my list. I have it listed as Rosa's awful fucking family. So, yes.
It wasn't Rosa, it was Eva's.
Or Eva, yeah.
Hers is probably terrible, too. But, like,
yeah. Oh, they are.
Man, Eva's family, man, it's just, it's like watching, it's like being at, like, a girlfriend's family barbecue where, like, you get there and you sit down and you start having dinner and then somehow politics come up and you find out that you're in the middle of, like, a beehive of Trump supporters is, like, the vibe I get of, like, watching. Like, they all just are so, like, oh, man, and they're so try-hard. Like, if anybody couldn't convey reality, like, in their reality show it was her family. Like, it was so cringeworthy to watch.
I hate her fucking geek brothers so much.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. So That dipshit brother was looking for something the second Eamon walks in to bitch about. The second she walks in the house, he's like, where's the drama? That's what he fucking wanted. And the drama was that she decided to have a real wedding ceremony just for her idiot-ass family to make them happy. So what do they do? What do? They bitch about her goddamn pictures. He calls his sister fucking trashy because a lady who makes a career out of her body and modeling took pictures that show off the thing she fucking works hard on daily. Like, Christ, I hate these fucking people.
Right, like, no one in her family seems to at all, like, as opposed to, like, when you saw, like, the Bella's family, like, the brother shows up, and the brother looks just like a male Bella. Very well put together, really handsome dude, has, you know, like, fine-ass wife, like, or girlfriend, you know, whatever she is, and... But then you go to, like, Eva Marie, and she's total, you know, like, fucking fancy, you know, like, total fucking, like, trailer park sweetheart, you know, compared to, like, the rest of her family. So it's like, yeah, man, like, why hate on her just because she, like, you know, is in the gym, you know? Because, I mean, you can't hate, like, you can't deny that she's in shape and she looks fine as fuck. She might be horrible at wrestling in most people's opinions, or, you know, like, they don't know why she has a job, but, like, by hook or crook, she does. And clearly takes care of herself. So, like, why just unabashedly hate on her because y'all are, like, fat and wearing, like, off-brand American Fighter Affliction shirts? Like, just fucking be nice to your sister.
Sign guy, what did you think about this opening scene with the family?
I thought it was just bizarre, and it's going to get worse because this is an ongoing storyline that drags out this entire season. But they wanted a traditional wedding. So she's like, okay, I'll do a traditional wedding, but I'll use these scantily clad pictures for you to hand out to the grandkids. And I can see their point. They don't want
to
say...
Fine guy, why the fuck are they handing these out to the grandkids? How old are these kids? They're like 6 or something, probably. They can't be that fucking old. Why do the kids give a shit about... Like, do you remember when you were a kid, did you ever look at anyone's fucking engagement photography?
Yeah.
No, I never got invited to, like, my family did not, like, value my opinion when I was a child. Like, my family loved me, but I feel like, it's a very, like, millennial thing to, like, well, we have to include Johnny and Kara. And, like, no, you don't.
Yeah.
Like, fuck Johnny and Kara. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, they're going to show up. Their feet are going to hurt after, like, an hour. They're going to complain and want to go home or, like, go to a fucking t-ball game, like, after they're done. Like, just – they don't want to be there. Like, I went to one wedding until I was an adult. Like, I had been to one wedding as a child, and it's because it was my only cousin, my, like, female cousin on my dad's side who was pretty much my sister. You know, it's because we were the only two grandchildren, so, like, I had to go to that, but there was never any, like, extended family, friends of my mother, like anything like that. I wasn't, you know, they didn't care about me socially.
But that's even beyond that. That's just going to the wedding. I didn't look at any of my parents' mail as a child. And beyond that, like, these fucking kids aren't watching Aunt Eva Marie on TV where she's wearing less fucking clothing, or they're not, like, buying the goddamn, like, muscle magazines or whatever she's in. Like, what the fuck is the problem with those goddamn pictures?
Right, yeah, well, I don't get it. Like, for you, they know what she does. They know, like how she makes her living in wrestling, like, in spandex. So I don't get it.
Sign guy, what do you think? You're saying something.
I can see they wouldn't necessarily want those type of pictures for the occasion. They're not occasion appropriate, really.
But who are you to judge?
But Eva Marie and Jonathan both in the opening segment of the show said that they were doing something that they knew wasn't appropriate, but they were going to do it anyway just because they could. So they knew that the family wasn't going to enjoy seeing...
No, they knew Eva Marie's dipshit fucking garbage family was going to bitch. So that's what they knew. Because Jonathan even referenced, like, you know, she's like, they're not going to like you not wearing a shirt. He's like, at least I'm not at fucking dinner. Because they bitched about him not wearing that shirt at fucking dinner that one time. When he was wearing a goddamn shirt. He was wearing a hooded sweatshirt, which is specifically a fucking type of shirt. It's in the goddamn name.
That's true, but I could see him not wanting to, you know, say, hey, come to my daughter's wedding. Here's a picture of her and her husband barely wearing any clothes. If they were planning a Catholic church wedding, which they apparently were.
They were not planning a Catholic church wedding.
No, the parents certainly were.
But the Eva Marie and her husband were not. And this is another thing that made me fucking livid. These goddamn brothers start the bullshit about Eva having the wedding in the Catholic church. Like, so where are you having it? St. Augustine, St. Joseph, St. blah, blah, blah. Jesus Christ, I hate these fucking people. Let these fucking people get married where they want to get married. It's their goddamn life. It's not yours, you fucking fat, goateed piece of fuck. It's theirs, okay? And they were going to have a traditional wedding, which means you get married in a goddamn church. But to Freddie Berry ass Nelson, the only thing that's a traditional wedding is getting married in a fucking Catholic church. Why can't these miserable fucking shit heels just ever be goddamn happy for their fucking daughter that they supposedly love instead of constantly being like, oh, you're not getting married in the Catholic church. Fuck off.
Right, and Jonathan, to his credit, was like I'm not willing, and I'm not a religious person at all, so like, I'm not like siding with him due to my own beliefs, because like, you know, I'm not at all I'm not like a very religious person. I couldn't give a shit less. Like, if I ever get married, I don't care if it's, you know, like at the courthouse, like, you know, with no one, or if it's, you know, at St. Fuckfest, you know, like, I don't care where I get married, you know. But like, he was like unwilling to compromise on that, and I thought that was like a really important part of the show, that he was like, nah, man, like, these are my religious beliefs, like, we'll do something where like we honor both of our traditions, or like, you know, we just won't fucking do it. And
yeah,
I think that was like, I think that's how it should be.
He specifically said, yes, that would be the worst thing in the world, actually, to make him compromise his beliefs for these dumbass motherfuckers that nobody likes.
Right, and they're like, I mean, I could even be a little bit more receptive to it if they at least, like, came to them, like, hey, you know, like, we know this is your all's wedding, this is really important to us, though, you know, family and tradition and this or that, how can we all be happy? How can we do something where we incorporate, because, I mean, that's what, like, marriage is supposed to be, is, like, a celebration of unity. So, you know, like, if you're coming together, it should be your background, her background, his background, your family, whatever, you know, like, bring it all together. But at the end of the day, like, there was a really good story from Manawa and Jess Beasney's wedding, where a family member of Beasney's was being just really, really, just really, really over the top, like being an asshole and like trying to get themselves like a bigger spot. Like, they were politicking at a wedding, you know, to like, they wanted to move up the card. And I was like, man, like, it was really, really getting on my nerves, because, you know, Manawa and Jess Beasney's are my best friends.
Yeah.
And the only thing, I didn't even care if Manawa was happy. Like, the only thing that mattered to me was that Jess walked away from her wedding, you know, the most special day of her life up until her son was born. Like, as long as she walked away happy, I didn't care about anyone else, you know. And like, we had the rehearsal dinner after we did the run through and everything at Getty Land, of course, because we were all, you know, like, broke adults in our 20s, so we wanted to go play video games and eat pizza and not have like a fancy dinner.
Yeah.
And in the middle of the dinner, like, this said family member did this one more time, and I just leaned over openly, like, where everyone at the table could hear me, and I was like, hey, I don't really care about what you want at this wedding. I don't care what anyone besides the bride wants, so if Jess isn't happy, none of you are going to be happy, and I will. So, like, could you just, you know, like, shut the hell up and stop being difficult? And said family member got up from the table and started crying and walked away. like, but, you know, it needed to be said. I was the guy to say it. And then, you know, the wedding went off without a hitch. And it was, I gave my best man speech and cried, you know, and couldn't even get through it. I ended it with a Mike Birbiglia quote and could barely get it out. So, you know, it was just an all-around special day.
I got one for you. There's a promoter out here getting married before a show. Like, the gimmick was he was going to get married before the show, boys, family, friends, whatever there, and then have the show where he'd main event. A former Louisville-based female sports entertainer whom Reed knows, whose name may or may not rhyme with Dodge, refused to let the wedding take place unless she got inserted into the wedding party and could go down the aisle with the person she wanted, held the wedding up for 20 minutes, refused to let the wedding happen until they succumbed to her demands.
Old.
That's ridiculous. That person would have immediately been booted.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
She only, not only was she not booted, she then, like, made the guests cry. She'd just go around bullying guests until they cried. And when they asked her to stop, she was like, what do you mean? What did I do? I haven't done anything. The guests just like bawling their eyes out, upset that the bully had mocked them for half an hour. It really happened. There's witnesses.
Yeah, I mean, that, if it, you know, the person I have in mind, that doesn't surprise me, not even a modicum. That sounds like, you know, as par the course with that individual, it seems.
Perhaps this person is being stalked by someone named Rompin' Reeves. Is that a possibility?
Hypothetically.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Well, moving on, I'm going to talk about the person that I hated most. Watch this, Reed. Let's see if Sign Guy and me can mentally connect and he can predict whom it might be. Sign Guy, who is it?
Let me think here.
I know.
TJ wasn't on this episode.
Thinking,
Brian. Is it Brie Bella?
It's Brie fucking Bella. This fucking bitch. This fucking bitch watched her sister get her puss straight up penetrated. Inches from the puss, just staring into it, watching for seconds her sister's puss being penetrated. Oh my God. So that's how I want to introduce Brie Bella. She's the kind of lady that watches her sister get her puss penetrated for seconds on end, just staring into the abyss, just watching all this unfold. And then she tries to make fun of her sister for it. Like, you're staring at your twin sister's goddamn vagina as this doctor's shoving things in it, and then you're going to try to clown your sister about her ugly vagina? You're a goddamn sister vagina looker.
Well, and you're a twin, so, like, I'm imagining her setup down there is, like, pretty similar. So, like, how are you going to...
I don't know how that works, really. I mean, they're not...
Yeah.
I don't know, like, even identical twins don't have necessarily identical bodies, I believe, so...
But, like, in my head, I want to believe that, like, I want to believe that,
so when
you know, they could...
When you're sitting around picturing the Bella's pussies in your head, you're thinking,
yeah,
like,
you know.
Yeah, they look the same, this is good...
Yeah, that's a common place, and I want it to be totally interchangeable, I don't want to know the difference.
I wish I was at the fucking fertility doctor... Watching her get things shoved in it. Either one, they're the same.
Right, like if there was a Bella fleshlight, you know, like I would like to imagine that they just share the same one. Like it's just the Nikki and Brie fleshlight.
You think they ever try to pull an old puss trick on Daniel and John?
Oh man, we're gonna veer off on a totally different course, and I don't. Think that we even need to get remotely close to.
I forgot you joined Total Puss with Sighting Eyes and Reg. Thoughts on the puss?
I don't even want to speculate if it's identical or not. I'd rather be blissfully happy never having found the answer to that.
Why are you talking about speculums now, sign guy?
I did not. I said speculate.
I heard you. This is getting to be offensive, sign guy. I think you took it.
I believe you were watching that episode a few too many times. You started picking up the terms and integrated them into your everyday life a little too much.
Now, that's just who Brie Bella is. But what made me angry about her is she feels it's her job to protect her sister when her sister, Nikki, is telling her about her life and all the new happenings in her relationship. After being previously opposed to it, John Cena is now saying he might be open to getting married in the future. However, he still doesn't feel like he wants children. And he just wants to be open with Nikki about all this. And Brie takes this as her chance to attack John, claiming it isn't fair. He's making her to have to make decisions about her adult life, and it's not fair that he's putting all this on her. The dude is being very open and very honest, and he's already had a change of heart from where he'd previously been, where he did not want to get married at all and said no. Now he's saying, eh, maybe. So who knows what else he might or might not change. Regardless of that, Brie is just being insanely horrible towards this man who's just having a discussion about his relationship with his lover. What do you think of that stuff, Reed?
Yeah, like, I think it's like the progression throughout the series of from John Cena being, you know, like Mr. Business to now being more open to these things, you know, not just like Brie in the show paints it out to be like he's just agreeing to things to get her off his back and to get Nikki off his back, or to I'll do this one thing so I don't have to do this other thing. But I believe, like, as a person, you know, who has been at that, has been that guy in relationships before, I guess, or has been that way with, you know, partners before, of not really wanting to look to the future, not really being interested in things of that nature, like not being interested in marriage, children, anything like that, you know, at one point in my life, to moving into, you know, a different part of your life where you kind of realize, like, okay, well, I did used to feel that way, but this person makes me feel differently about that. This person makes me feel in a way that I never thought I would feel, you know, before I met them or before I was with them.
Absolutely.
Or before I was. Yeah, so I think he's 100%, you know, like, he is the, I mean, obviously the man in every way possible, and he is definitely the unsung hero of Total Divas also, as he is, you know, the very sung hero of WWE television programming elsewhere. He's the unsung hero in this one. He is, like, the dark horse of positive change. Like, you know, in this point, I think it's, yeah, it's the third season. So, I mean, like, two seasons, he's already, you know, like, adapting and evolving. I think later on in the season, Daniel Bryan at some point comments on that too, how he, you know, like, how the change that John has went through, like, just, you know, since they started filming the show, basically.
Thoughts on this stuff, Sanya?
I think that Cena was just throwing it out there as sort of a bargaining chip. He's like, well, if I marry you, and he's thinking, and she's already signed one contract here for the house, maybe she'll sign a prenup and we can get this out of the way. But I think probably the children thing was where he was going to draw the line. I think he's just so afraid of there being children and then Nikki just bolting on him, wanting a divorce, and then the children are caught up in it. I think that's what he's mainly focused on when he says he doesn't want children. So I think he threw that out there as just a bargaining chip later. Like, well, I told you I would think about marriage, and that way she'll stick around. She won't be nagging him for the rest of his life. Oh, you wouldn't marry me. Oh, you wouldn't have kids. He put this out there just to kind of ease the tension of that a little bit.
Yeah. The other thing that drove me crazy about Brie real quick, besides the married stuff, was this goddamn baby shit. She suggests to Nikki that she ought to go freeze her eggs because John Cena was going to dump her and she might have to make children from a test tube because she's a nothing. Then following this, she goes out to dinner with her family. All of them. We get, well, not all of them. We get the great JJ and his wife, the one that looks exactly like Brie.
Lauren.
Yeah. Lauren, that's right. So they go out to dinner, and what does Brie do immediately but say, "Oh, look at that baby. Babies are so cute. I can't wait to have all the babies. And JJ, you're going to have all the babies too, right? Oh, and we'll have babies at the same time. And babies, babies, babies." What a fucking dickhead.
Not only that, the worst thing of it was she was upset that they weren't going to be pregnant the exact same day and have their babies at the exact same time. That made her livid.
Well, I'll tell you why. Because she's used to JJ and Lauren fucking in the same bed as her and Brian. And JJ, I guess, was no longer interested in these weird swaps he was a part of. Now, there's a long precedented history of this show, Reed, of JJ wanting to fuck Brie constantly.
Man, I've heard that before. I've heard these theories. These people have similar feelings about that before. I've never really picked up on it, but I mean, I'm an only child, so I don't know if I can really weigh in on anything to do with siblings. Like, I'm an only child, so
yeah.
You know, I don't know if that's like a commonplace thing among siblings. So,
no,
like, you know,
it is not. I can confirm it is not normal.
Okay.
All right, guys, do you want to give like an example of these two from the past? I can think of a good one.
One of the things is she drugged JJ to her house to do some like really simple repair that she could have done and. Seconds, and there was a lot of tension there. A lot of
the eyes. They were talking
yeah.
to each other. Oof. And she's like, "Yeah, you really hammered that in there."
And he's like, "Let me just remove my shirt while I hang this plaque on your wall with this hammer and nail that you didn't understand enough to use."
Well,
these simple tools.
Let's move on for Brie. Sign guy, let's do that mental meld again. Can I predict your most hated? Natty Neidhart.
That is actually correct.
Yeah! Do you want to fill in Reed on some of her past transgressions? I always love
Well,
those.
Reed knows them because he's watched the show.
Have to fill me in because I despise her, but please.
Oh, it's fun that
guys, tell me why you also despise her.
Well, some of the things she has done over the course of the episodes we have reviewed, she ran her own car into a brick wall to try to get out of a drug test. She fumigated her home because she had insects flying out of her hair, and she ran into said home to retrieve a bowl for her cat to lay in. She begged TJ to marry her, and when he took her to get married, she threw this absolute tantrum about how he shouldn't have asked her to marry her. She lied to her parents about like liking different pieces of art they bought her. She moved her sister into her home thinking that her husband was just too stupid to ever notice that her sister lived with them now. She asked her mother to go with her to an ophthalmologist appointment and then just berated the mother for being in the same room with her.
Oh, Natty's my favorite. Natty, the Neidhart family should have got the spinoff show, not Total Bellas.
Drew Skills had a theory on that.
Yeah.
Do you forget Drew Skills' theory?
Yep, I sure do.
His theory was the Bellas was spun off to cater to reality shows / mainstream media, but the Neidhearts might get a spinoff on the network to focus strictly for wrestling fans.
That would be the greatest moment of my life because they bring me such joy. Oh, I love the Neidhart family, but we did not have the Neidhart family. We had Natty, so talk about her, sign guy. She compared Rosa Mendez to Jeffrey Dahmer. I know that.
She did, but the first thing she does is she goes up and hugs Rosa, and she's like, oh, I'm so happy to see you here. And then she starts fondling Rosa Mendez in the middle of the hall at the arena, just fondling her constantly and saying, oh, well, you need to change because these clothes are too revealing. See, I can stick my hand in here and just fill you up like this. And she just keeps filling Rosa up constantly, won't keep her hands off of her. And then when Rosa's not around, Natty's the first person to bash her. And he's like, oh, if I wanted to babysit, I'd hang out with Summer Rae. And Carano's like, hey, could you maybe mentor this girl? It's her first day back on the job after she's gotten out of rehab. She's fragile right now, really needs some support. And Natty just throws this fit. And the point of the fit is she thinks that if she's around Rosa, the office will fire her for being the exact same thing as Rosa. But it was the office that specifically requested her to do this, so it made no sense. And she kept going back and forth. When Rosa and her were alone, she was like, oh, don't listen to anybody, and you've come a long way, and you're doing so well now, and you're going to be fine. Rosa walks away. She needs to be fired. She dresses trashy, and she's no good, and she shouldn't be in this company. Just 180, complete 180 on the girl. And then, after being fondled, and then after Natty fondled this broad in front of tons of people in an arena, Rosa answers her hotel room door naked, and Natty just flips out. I'm like, you were fondling this broad for 20 minutes, just staring at her and putting your hands everywhere, and now you're freaking out like you've never seen a naked woman in your life in a hotel room.
Now, this is not the last time, though, we'll see Rosa Mendez's puss on the show either.
It's not, but Natty was shocked. She's like, I can't believe you're showing me such things, even though I went to great lengths to look and touch them, where
she
there were much more people.
Rosa wanted to go out in the hallway and just hang out naked.
She really did.
Right, she just... Yeah, she just wanted to hang out in the hallway and get luggage in the nude.
Natty would rather be scrubbing her toilet instead of helping acclimate her former coworker back into the world.
Yeah, like, who comes up with that as their, like, their analogy?
Natalia Neidhart.
Yeah, like, where? How do you... See, the only reason that I would be for the Neidhart or Hart family spinoff, not because of original content, because there's only been like 18 DVD releases about the Hart family in some form or fashion, but solely just for the like once or twice a season Brett cameo where he just starts burying Ric Flair. Like, that's what I need more of in my life. I need more of Ric Flair and Bret Hart being old as fuck and still hating each other. Like, that's what I need more of in my life. Like, those are two men that I can respect, not just for their wrestling ability, but for their willingness to do what I do, and that's take a grudge to my fucking grave.
She called Rosa Mendez a Fredericks of Hollywood girl and called herself more of a Victoria's Secret girl. Isn't that all just fucking lingerie? What's the goddamn
difference? Like, what makes lingerie less slutty? Like, what's the difference?
Sign guy, what's the difference? Tell us.
I don't think there is one, and to be honest, I think Natty probably just buys like flannel pajamas with footsies on them from Kmart, and that's what she considers hot. That's why she had to have Dr. Milrod come to the house last time.
Dr. Milrod, yes. Now, imagine what you could do with these bananas. Man, this season, I have to say, season 3, I think, is my favorite season, Sign Guy.
Already?
No, from past views. It's the season with all the Natty and Summer drama, and we're in the salad days now, Sign Guy. We're in the
definitely in the salad days. You're in the fucking thick of it now, man.
The early season's not good. The later season's not good. We're right there. So Reed, Sign Guy. I forgot. Was there anything else about Natty?
That was the bulk of it. But one thing I hated, when Carano asked for this favor, for her to kind of watch over Rosa since she was fresh out of recovery, just getting back on the road, they weren't too sure about her just yet, so they wanted who they considered stable Natty to be with her. And Natty's like, oh, well, there better be a Divas title shot in this.
Yeah.
What does that have to do with watching Rosa? Like,
do your fucking job, dummy.
Yeah.
Right.
I didn't get it. She didn't even say a title reign. It was a title shot. So she was perfectly fine watching Rosa as long as she got a 2-minute squash on Superstars for the Divas title.
Right. Who was the Divas champion at this time?
AJ.
I don't know. Was it AJ? I'm not positive.
Yeah.
It seems like it
was AJ.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this was post WrestleMania 30.
Yeah, that's right. It is. Yep. Well, who else did you hate, Reed? Have we covered all yours?
Yeah, I mean, we covered. I love Rosa Mendez. I think she's a delight. So we covered my hatred of Natty. My definite, not hatred, but certain disagreement with Brie Bella's willingness to dictate how her brother and her sister have their children. And Eva Marie's fucking garbage fire family. So I think that's pretty much it. I think everybody else I was pretty cool with in this episode. I thought Titus O'Neil coming in and hitting her with the girl bye was real funny. I like Titus O'Neil. I don't think I hated too many other people in this episode. I used to hate Jonathan a lot. Like,
no, not my Jonathan, not my sweet.
Just in the beginning, man. Like in the beginning, I was like, man, what is this guy doing? Like,
I'm gonna change your mind on him. What you need to do is just watch Jonathan Coyle eat. He's usually eating steaks on the show. He'll usually get 2 steaks. He'll have like maybe a protein shaker bottle, but he's just eating all the time, and it makes me so happy. And we got him eating this episode. But let's see if Sign Guy hated anyone else, or did we cover everyone, Sign Guy?
I had Bree at number 3, but in the middle I had Josie.
Okay, yes, she was awful too.
I singled out Josie specifically because this broad is, they were arguing back and forth the whole time. She's just making these ugly faces, just these weird, constant faces. Like, it is the oddest thing I've ever seen. Just weird face.
Oh, yeah.
Weird
Marie's
face.
Mom?
Yeah.
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 Just
man,
the
yeah,
whole episode.
So awkward. She looked like she was stroking out, like, the entire car ride. Like,
she did. And then this broad just blurts out to her daughter just casually, oh, yeah, your dad, cancer's back. It's all over his body. He's going to die. Who does that to their own daughter? She's just like, oh, yeah, we didn't tell you because you're busy. Kind of like, how dare you earn a living and have a life when I'm sitting here retired and your dad's out building a tent, smiling while I tell you he's going to be dead any time now.
She was a strange lady. Yes. So
we've already established she's a horrible, horrible mother. I believe Rex Sharp's wife, his wife, called her the worst mother of all time.
That sounds like my wife. My wife. Well, let's talk about some of these people we like real quick. Let's get through this. Yeah, Jonathan Coyle was my favorite, of course.
I had him at my number three.
Okay, because we had him eating. That's always a delight. I love to watch him eat. And I love the wacky pictures they took with him shirtless with the backwards hat. Those were wacky. And then just that stuff with the telling his wife that he's not going to change his fucking life for her stupid-ass family. So I appreciate it. So we got the food, we got him shirtless, and we got him telling everybody to fuck off. So Jonathan Coyle, you did it, brother.
Now, the one thing that I don't think we've mentioned, and Jonathan Coyle seemed to be more educated on the Catholic faith than the people that supposedly are hardcore Catholics. They're like, can't you just convert, take a class?
It takes
a year and a half of classes. You have to go every week for like 2 or 3 days a week to take these classes in order to convert. It's not like you just show up at a Catholic church and say, I want to be Catholic for a day or two. Is that all right? Do I get a card? That's not how it works at all. The man would have died before Jonathan got through the classes to become Catholic.
Old Freddie Perry Nelson would be dead in the damn ground.
But they were acting like, oh, no big deal. Go down to the Catholic church, become Catholic. Take you 5 minutes. That's Jonathan knew better. He's like, year and a half worth of classes twice a week.
But imagine if he was like, hey, you know, I know you guys are Catholic, but why don't you convert to Satanism to come, you know, join my, you know, for my wedding. They wouldn't do that shit, so why do they expect him to do it?
I don't think they're even Catholic.
No, they're not.
If they were really Catholic, they would have known.
I think they are, but they're like the very definition of Catholic, which is just like I go to church on like Easter and like one other time a year. Like, and that's it. You know, like those very like, you know, like Irish Catholic, like, Last Supper painting above the dining room table, but like they all like owe their bookie like way too much money and like drink themselves to sleep every night. But, you know, like twice a year they are fucking, they're Catholic, man.
Yeah, that really bothered me, but Jonathan knowing that, because you could tell on his face that he knew exactly what that entailed and he wanted no part of it. Even if he was interested.
Mm. So who else did you like, sign guy?
Well, number two, I had Mark Carano. Now, the main reason I like old Mark Carano this episode, he calls this meeting with all the broads in, and he's all gung-ho. He's like, let's welcome back Rosa Mendez, because he's thinking, well, Rosa's been gone for over a year. Broads will probably be excited that she's back. She's got her life together. She's clean now, ready to get back to work. And the broads just sat there. They didn't care that Rose was back. Most of them didn't want her back. And Carano's just like, oh, okay. Moving on to someone you like. He's like,
Shit. This isn't important anymore. Wait,
yes,
though,
it
wait.
Is.
Wait, what happened after WrestleMania 30? The day, that Monday Night Raw, Paige won the belt.
Yeah, but AJ was champion at the start of the show, because they started WrestleMania. So there,
after WrestleMania. So Paige,
you had your moment. You had your moment.
No, Paige was the champion.
You had your moment. I'm going back to Mark Carano. And then he gets back to telling the broads, okay, let's move on to someone you do like. He's like, anyone talking to Summer Rae? How's she doing there at the movie shoot? Silence. And he's like, oh my God, all these broads hate each other. And you could tell it never occurred to him that this wasn't one big happy locker room. It was a bunch of broads that hated each other. And he gets this panic look on his face. And then he's like, well, I can rely on Natty. She does anything the office says and thinks it's great. She tells us how happy she is to do it. And she's demanding a diva title shot for doing this. And like, she's like, I don't want to babysit this broad that I just felt up in front of perfect strangers. And he's like, he's just, for words, he was trying to create harmony in the locker room, trying to make a cohesive unit out of these broads, some team unity. Try as he might, they weren't having it. They were like, no, we'd rather just not say a word when you ask us if we've talked to this broad. We don't even want her in the locker room breathing the same air. But he pressed on. He tried his best.
Anyone else you like to read? Oh, God. Oh, Jesus.
Okay, go ahead. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Anyone else?
I just want to say that... No, go ahead. Oh, okay, go ahead.
This is a great show we're putting on right now.
Okay, go ahead.
Very
enjoyable. Lots of onomatopoeia.
Yeah. Anyone else you liked?
Reed, did we cover yours?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much everybody. I mean, I liked everybody else. I was a big fan of Cameron just being in the show, period, because I liked her. I was sad to see her gone.
Yeah, me too. That means no more Vinny.
Right. And I don't know who else was good this episode. I think that's pretty much it, yeah. Like, I put over Titus O'Neil. I think he's funny. Fucking Jonathan was really great this episode, obviously, as we've already covered. Really, you know, put his foot down and made sure that his beliefs were not compromised. And honestly, I know we buried Brie Bella. Could we put over Nikki Bella's underhandedness? Like,
I thought you were going to put over Nikki's foot.
pulling off the underhanded, getting blood work done in the house, getting the woman in and out without John noticing, pawning off, having to go get the check for the consultant, cleaning her arm off, and him being none the wiser to the blood work and the needle, the track mark in her arm. Like, that was that was good.
It's a running theme in this series. I don't know if you've noticed. They think all men are completely stupid. They're like, oh, I'll just bring the nurse into the house. John will never know because he'll be upstairs and I'll be downstairs. And it'll be like the Brady Bunch.
Our 15,000 square foot mansion, he'll never know. It's the size of 8 of your home.
Natty does it with TJ all the time. Bree does it with Brian. They're like, oh, he'll never find out because apparently he'll never get word that this show exists and he won't watch it on television. But
right,
I would like to point out...
No one's going to tell TJ about what goes on.
Exactly. But I would like to point out my number one was Titus O'Neil, mainly because... He shows up and he's like, oh, pictures, let's see him. He's like, why are you so hesitant? He's like, oh, my God, you can't use these to use your save the date. And who calls it a save the date? Why isn't it called a wedding invitation?
Right. I don't. Are those two different? Like, do you send out save the dates before you send out wedding invitations? Like, they're already married, so I guess they're not really a good example. But, like, traditionally, are those two different things? Do you send out a save the date and, like, then a real wedding invitation?
I don't know. I've never heard the term until
I'm
saw this.
I'm not a wedding
episode.
Scientist, so I don't know. Like, wedding science is not my field, so it could be for all I know.
Have you ever considered going to school for wedding science?
I have not. I would be a lot more likely to go to school for, like, fleshlight science than to go to school for wedding science. I just recently ended my streak of being single for like half of a decade, so moving into anything remotely close to dealing with wedding science is way too fast for me. So, you know, I'm like relearning how to be an adult at 25.
Fair enough. And can anyone answer this question? Because it's bothered me since I watched this episode for the first time when it aired on E. What does John Cena have against window treatments?
Yeah, I didn't get that. And honestly, I wasn't even sure what he meant. I didn't know, like, by window treatment, if they meant, like a tent, you know, like, to keep, you know, to keep whatever for out, to keep some, you know, rays out of the house, or I don't know exactly, because I'm not a homeowner, you know, like, I will probably rent until the day I die, so, like, I don't know anything about window treatments. That's one of the things, again, not my forte. Total Divas bringing out a lot of things that are not my specialty by any means.
I believe he was meaning by window treatments, you can put, like, plastics over them to insulate, to make sure they aren't too drafty, or sometimes...
Just to, like, keep your heat and your cold air in, okay.
Right. Sometimes you can get them tinted because they were, I think that was the Florida mansion, so probably lots of light coming through, so they could have tinted windows.
I would definitely lean towards, like, tint or something along those lines is what I had pictured in my head. But, yeah, I don't know why he's against that. I don't know if he feels like he needs to, like, soak up the extra rays or if he, like, needs the, you know, vitamin whatever it is you get from the sun. I'm not sure.
Vitamin D.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, vitamin D. Yeah, I guess
we're
maybe
of course experts here in Seattle on vitamin D because we have very little.
Right, you guys don't get nearly enough of it.
We're pretty much
you guys
deficient.
In Alaska. Right. You guys and Alaska, you know.
Well, to be fair, Alaska gets several months of near darkness, but they get several months where the sun doesn't go down until like 11 o'clock at night.
Right. So theirs is just kind of split up too. You know, they get way too much and then not nearly enough. You're just kind of, you know, screwed across the board.
Very true. Have you ever wrestled in Alaska?
I have not. I would like to. Like, that's definitely like, if anything like that ever came up, it would be one of those bookings I hopped at immediately just because, you know, A, I've never been to Alaska, and like B, you're not going to get too many chances to cross that off. I used to think the coolest thing was someone in like a Raw or SmackDown magazine when I was in like middle school was talking about all the states they had wrestled in and how they only like they were only like 10 years into their career and they only had like 2 states left to wrestle in. That's always obvious. I think that's for a lot of wrestlers, though. That's like a goal, you know, knock out all the states. So I would definitely like to do that. Like I took a booking in South Dakota one time just because I was like, okay, like South Dakota, probably, you know, not too much going on there. So, you know, I should probably hop on this while I have the chance.
We'll pretend like Nick Dinsmore's promotion isn't based in South Dakota, just in case he's listening.
I did not know that Nick Dinsmore had a promotion based in South Dakota. I would be lying if I said I did. I thought
he actually
lived,
does.
Either somewhat locally or in Florida or somewhere. Like, what took Nick Dinsmore to South Dakota?
He moved there and then opened up a promotion about 4 or 5 months ago.
Oh, okay. That's interesting, man. I like Nick Dinsmore.
I once feuded with Nick Dinsmore, but, you know, that's kind of a sore subject. But, yeah, we'll talk later on Alaska because I have performed there. I know a few people. And the payoffs are great.
Yeah, Ian has a couple of good stories about Alaska from early 90s when him and Axel had just first started traveling, and he got on, I believe, through Akbar and, like, Global and stuff, I guess, maybe pre-Global, just knowing Akbar, doing, like, military-based tours. Like, he knocked out, like, most of the, like, obscure state, like, off of his state list just by doing these base tours, you know, going and wrestling at the forts and whatnot. So, I mean, there's a couple of really good ones that he had about Alaska, you know, going from, like, one to the other. Because there's apparently, you know, like, or at least used to be, like, several military bases in Alaska, I guess, you know, so we can keep an eye on Russia. I'm not really sure why else we would have things in Alaska, unless maybe to protect oil and polar bears, but he had a lot of good stories. That's something that I wish was, like, still a thing. Like, if I could just go on, like, a six-month tour of military bases and just wrestle and travel state to state and have these nightly one-off shows that, you know, just don't matter each night. Just go out and wrestle and do something different every single night of the week. I'd be 100% down for that. I feel like I was born into the wrong era of wrestling.
Well, Rex's internet has blown up, so we're going to wrap this up. He didn't show up at the start. Internet blew up before the finish. You got the middle in, I guess, but you got the IWA show coming up. Anything else you want to plug or promote as we wrap this show up nice and neat?
No, not really. Just mainly the upcoming IWA show. Plug my pro wrestling tee store as always. I have a couple of new designs up. One more geared towards the ladies. I have like a Forever 21-ish rip-off kind of shirt instead of the more issues than Vogue. It's more issues than PWI. So I've put over my T-shirt. It's prowrestlingtees.com/ReedBentley. Know the in the beginning, like all of my other, my social media and everything else on the internet. It's the only one with no the, just my name. Go check them out, Pro Wrestling Tees. Really, really, really great people. Fast shipping, good customer service, good communication, always in my experience with them at least, and the people, you know, my fans that I know have dealt with them. And I'll put over the BNMVS. You can check out the Bentley Manowar Variety Show on iTunes. We are getting ready to start back up. We tried to start back up a couple of months ago and had, I believe we did one. No, yeah, we just did one episode. I thought we did two in one day, but we did one. Had a really, really good return episode, picked up like we had never taken a break, and then Manowar's laptop decided to blow up like Rex's internet, and we lost the show, and it was just kind of like killed our momentum, killed our, you know, like desire to do it, because we had had a really, really good show. But so we're going to start filming again, and food reviews and stuff for the Team Best Dude YouTube, doing the Bentley and Manowar show, variety show podcast, and all that stuff. We've added a couple of people to our podcast network on iTunes, just, you know, just to throw up some new content while we're waiting on us to get back to filming. Manowar has moved into a new residence and has a basement that we're going to turn into, you know, our studio essentially. So podcasting will be a go again, and we are going to add, you know, two or three more shows to the feed as well. So check out all the all my social media stuff, the Reed Bentley, however you want to say it. Follow me on Twitter. Subscribe to my channel on YouTube for the occasional random match that isn't going to be distributed on SmartMark. My pro wrestling tees, Instagram, Snapchat. If you have any dumb games that you like to play on your phone, if you're listening to this, tweet them at me and tell me to download the game, and I will beat you at it. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. Thank you guys for having me on.
Our pleasure, and if you're ever in Portland, Oregon, please wrestle Wade By God Hess so my wife gets her dream match of By God versus By God.
I would love to. I know that my good friend J.J. Garrett that we mentioned actually debuted last weekend for West Coast Wrestling Connection, I believe it is. He debuted against Gangrel out in Oregon. So maybe I could make the trip with him sometime.
That would be phenomenal, and I would talk to Wade Hess. I have talked to Wade Hess, as a matter of fact. This needs to happen. It's my wife's dream match. Above all dream matches, Battle of the By Gods.
Sounds good to me, man.
All right, well, thank you, Reed Bentley, for joining us. Best of luck to you as you defend your championship there at IWA. And if you're in the Portland area, NWA Blue Collar running Sunday, 2 weeks from this Sunday on the 29th, Piper Palooza 2, the Roddy Piper Memorial Show, second year of it. Kevin Sullivan making his first ever appearance in the state of Oregon in the main event of that show. Should be phenomenal. We'll be back next week.
Bye.